Our topic for this week is the issue of insects and ensuring that we have insect-free food. A little bit of a controversial topic on some level, because there's this question that kind of looms around about to what extent are things required according to the letter of the law, what's a chumrah. There's some accusations that certain stringencies are, new compared to what our answers might have done. So this week we're really going to focus on A, identifying the prohibition, and identifying the fact that insects are forbidden to begin with, and what kind of insects are forbidden, and then we'll talk about who's trustworthy or who's appropriate to check for bugs. And then we'll end by talking a little bit about checking insects on Shabbos. And then next week, we'll talk a little bit more practically about different foods. So we're on page 239, source one. So again, like last week, we have allow psukim to begin. I'm not going to read all of them inside for now, but one thing we're told in early on in the parsha related to kashrus, this is all found in parsha Shmini and a little bit in parsha A as well in Dvarim. So in source one it says v'chol asher ein lo snap paper kas kesed. So anything in the water that doesn't have fins or scales by yamim of anechalim, whether it's seas or in rivers, mikol sher tamayim, of all creatures that swarm in the water, kol nefesh achaya sher b'mayim, and of all creatures that swarm in the waters, and of all living creatures that are in the waters, sheketz heim lachem, they are repugnant to you. And then it goes on to say, v'sheketz yiyu lachem yibzaram lo tocheilu v'ani v'tam t'shaketzu. And so it goes on to say that they are repugnant, you're not allowed to eat them, and their carcasses are also repugnant. So that's what it says about insects. This is echoed again in Parshat Re'eh. But one thing that comes up frequently when it comes specifically to shratzim, to swarming creatures, aka insects, is that they are considered shekets, that they're considered to be abominable, repugnant. And on the one hand, there's an aspect of tumah, there's an aspect of impurity. The fact that they are impure or cause impurity does not inherently mean that they're prohibited to be eaten, but then there's the additional element that they are also forbidden to be eaten, right? Not all forms of tuma are forbidden. Sometimes for tame, you're tame. Right? If you come in contact with a dead body, it's not, unless you're a Kohen, there's no prohibition of coming in contact with the dead body, but it happens to impart impurity. But when it comes to these kinds of insects, so not only do they impart impurity, but it's also forbidden to eat them. Okay?
Rabbi is talking about, I have a question. Where does it say insects? It says, what? Are you reading the right, am I in the right page here?
I'm on page 239, so I was talking about swarm. So there's different types of insects. Here it's talking about water insects. Yeah. There are things that think that swarm. So they're not fish. I guess even by contemporary taxonomy, they would not be considered fish. They're water bugs.
But there's other bugs that are not in the water.
We haven't done it all yet.
Okay. Also, it's a difference between being shekets and animals, like a pig or something, is not shekets.
Right. It's something that's reserved particularly for bugs.
Which means you don't really want to eat them. It's not amazing sometimes. So, most of the time.
One thing I'll throw in here is that so after saying Kikiyablos, or sometimes just in order to introduce Kadosh Karabanan, so we say this line, Rabbi Chanan ben Kasha Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakot Et Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us merit, L'fichach Yirah Lahem Torah U'mitzvot, therefore he gave a lot of mitzvot, he gave us the Torah. So what's the merit that we get from the many mitzvot? So I don't remember which rabbi this is, but one of the Farshim says that that you know, we have certain mitzvahs like the prohibition of eating insects, like which we wouldn't do anyway because it's gross, but nonetheless, we get reward for not having crossed the prohibition. So, yeah, there's an element here that, you know, it's disgusting anyway, but if you think about, you know, what some of the reality TV, and they force people to do things that are gross, and you make a lot of money that way, or whatever it is. So, like, you know, people are willing to do gross things for a lot of money. So that's their elements. Okay, on page 240, source 3 cites a number of psukim specifically regarding land insects. So right in pasuk mem aleph, verse 41, it says, any swarming creature that swarms upon the earth. Okay. Before we're talking about the water, now we're talking about the earth. It's a repugnance, it shall not be eaten. And this is, different formulations of this are repeated a few times. Again, not going to read each and every pasuk. Right. Then we go on to talk about flying insects. So here they actually, I don't know if this was a printing error. I think they, it seems like they just copied and pasted what was above. But for those of you who are on a device, so you can see on the screen here that it says kol sheretz ha'of halech al arba sheketu lechem. So any wing swarming things that walk on fours shall be an abomination. Achad zed tochlu. So there are certain winged swarming things that you're allowed to eat. So locusts are famously included in that. There was a video circulating this past summer of Schechter trying a locust. Again, whether it's really appetizing or not is a different story, but locusts are permitted. But kol sheretz ha'of asher lo abar aglaim, so other wing swarming things, other than the ones mentioned in the Torah, are considered to be abominable. And goes on to say that that it causes a tumah. But then if you look in source 5, pasuk, this is Dvarim, says, every flying swarming creature is impure for you, they shall not be eaten. So it's very clear from these psukim, there are quite a number of prohibitions associated with consuming creepy crawlers. So it's not just that they're tamim, it's not even just that they're forbidden, but the prohibition is repeated so often and counts as separate labim, counts as separate isurim. So it's quite a severe formulation here. Okay, so I think for the most part, again, minus the reality TV case, I think for the most part, most of us do not plan to pick up a bug and put it inside our mouth. We're not cooking them for dinner, but there are issues that can come up in the kitchen. So what happens, for example, if a bug falls into a pot of soup? So if you look in source 6 in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, well, back up for a second. So normally, if I have, let's say I have a drop of milk that falls into a big pot of chicken soup. So if there's 60 times more soup than there is, at least 60 times more soup than there is milk. So we said that's batsa bashishim, and the soup is not really forbidden, right? Assuming that the milk is mixed in, and you know,
milk isn't prohibited otherwise, but the insect is
correct. But that could be true. Even if it was a piece of chazer, right? If a piece of chazer falls into my chicken soup and it's less than, you know, it's less than a 60th of the soup, that's also fine. But there's a unique chumrah. There's a unique stringency. I don't mean chumrah in like the extra sense. I mean like this is a real halacha. But we're more stringent when it comes to bugs. In source 6 in Shulchan Aruch, it says k'deirish al marak shenafal sham beria. If there was a creature, a bug, an insect that falls into the soup, v'nevda asur hakol, the whole thing becomes prohibited. So if I can extract the bug and it was less than a 60th, then fine. We won't say that it imparted taste. But if the bug, if a whole insect falls into the soup, even if there's 60 times more, let's say it's an ant. So let's say, 60 times more soup than there is, the one ant, the whole thing becomes asur. The whole thing becomes forbidden. Now, with that said, it only applies that the concept of beria is when it's a whole insect. But as the Rambam writes in source 7 in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Namala shechaser afilu acham raglamas. Let's say you have an ant that's missing one of its legs. Eino laka ala ala b'kazayis. So one does not receive lashes for it unless there was unless it had the size of a kazayis. So in that case, let's say a small ant falls into the soup, but it's missing one of its legs or something like that. So then, b'di'eved, if you can't extract it and can't identify it, it's totally blended in. So b'di'eved, one would not be liable for it. But we still have a principle called chatzi shir aser min haTorah, that even if you don't get a punishment unless there is a certain measurement of something forbidden that you consume, it's still forbidden to purposely consume that, right? The example where this comes up is Yom Kippur. So technically for Yom Kippur, I have to eat a certain amount before I become Chayav Kares, right? So that's what we talk about, the idea of eating in Shiurim. If somebody is in a situation where, they really, really need to eat, so we tell them to eat in small amounts that are less than a Shiur, less than the amount that one would get Kares for. So a healthy person is not allowed to purposely eat a half Shiur, right? Chati Shiur Asar Min HaTorah. So same thing with the insect, even though it's not a whole ant, I still should not eat that soup, but nonetheless, I would not be liable for lashes the way I would if it was a whole insect.
You're not eating you're taking it out with a spoon, and then the rest of the soup is as if you're eating the ant.
No, we're talking about when the ant is still in there, right? That was a case that was brought up Shulchan Aruch, that again, that's totally lost. If you can take it out and it's less than a 60th, then we assume that no taste is imparted. Okay. So the Rambam likewise says in source 8, Leficha ha'ochel zvuk shalim. It's only if you eat a whole fly, or yatush shalim, or a whole flea, bein chayav bein meis, whether it's alive or dead, lo ke mishum sheretzav. So then you get lashes. But that's only if it's the whole insect. Okay. So then the question becomes, what happens with insects that cannot be seen at all? Right? We're not talking about here about an ant that fell into the soup and I can't find it anymore. We're talking about insects that fundamentally cannot be seen by the naked human eye. So when Shulchan Aruch says in source, and this comes up particularly fruits and vegetables, and I would add water. So the Shulchan Aruch says in source 9, Kol mine peros shedarkan lahatzliach shehem kubarim. So you have some fruits and vegetables that are generally infested when they're growing. Lo yochal ad shegivdok ha-pri bitocho. You have to make sure that you check the fruit. Shema yesh bo tolas. You have to check that, there might be a worm, might be an insect. And the Ramah adds, Lo mehane bahen badak harov. It's not enough that you just checked, if you have a whole pile of broccoli, so it's not enough, or lettuce, so it's not enough that you checked, 75% of them, but you have to check each one. Sorry, I was passing around by the apartment. Because it's even if it's the minority of cases, but it's common enough that we have to be concerned. So again, this is just telling us that there's an obligation to check fruits and vegetables that have the possibility of infestation. Again, what happens if the insect is not really visible to the naked eye? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a fascinating discussion of this. So he says, this is source 10 on page 242, Yesh min shekasa b'shem chach me'atavah, there's some who say in the name of scientists, and mista'akel b'skukris ha'megandelas shekorin spectio, I don't know exactly how to pronounce this, but basically you have a magnifying glass. Or you have glass, a megadella, right? You have a magnifying glass or a microscope. No, they have microscopes in the time of Aruch HaShulchan, but certainly magnifying glass. So if you look inside, if you look at vinegar with a magnifying glass, you'll find insects. We don't really have to worry about the vinegar. That's so he's saying that these insects were grown, I guess, in really grew in the appeared in the vinegar, were not originally, vinegar doesn't grow from the ground. So since the insects come from a sort of a detached source, that's not really a concern. But so when it comes to water, especially rainwater, water has all types of insects that you can't see them. We ought to see Shamati on page 243. So he said that there's somebody from his youth who used a magnifying glass to look at water and saw all sorts of creatures in it.
See the bacteria.
Then he asked, well, if he's, how could we possibly drink water? These insects come from a natural source. So the vinegar, the vinegar is not from a natural source, but the insects in the water, they're from the natural source. So how could we possibly ever drink water? He says, "Omnan ha'emesu delo asar Torah b'mashe ein ha'ein shalat dispo." If I can only see it with a magnifying glass or a microscope, if I can't see it with my own eye, the Torah did not prohibit it. Delo nitna Torah l'malchim. The Torah was not given to angels.
That's a very important point. That those few words.
The Torah was not given to angels. So right. Therefore, if I can't see it, we consider as if it is not there. And he goes on to say that the same thing with air. There are some scientists who say that when you're breathing air, there could be all sorts of things flying in the air. I've also heard things like when you're sleeping, I don't know if this is urban legends or whatnot, but there's all sorts of hypotheses of what creatures are flying in the air that people inhale. So obviously it's not prohibited to breathe. But he says, "Vaday dehevel yiftzepihem." They're talking nonsense. But he goes on to say, "Omnam kama sha'ayin yachol liros." But if the eye could potentially see it, "Afil neged hashemesh, afil dag min hadak, ave sheretz gamor." So let's say if you can only see the insect in direct sunlight, or or even if it's thin, but if it's there, like let's say you have a green insect against a green background, right? Like a green insect in the lettuce. So maybe it's not so easy to see, but if I could see it, if I checked it under the light or something like that, then I do have to be concerned. So two quick stories in this regard, both with water and with air. So when it comes to water, so I did ask my Rebbe once. So there's a machlok. I think Rav Shachter and Rav Willick have machlokas about whether you can drink New York City tap water, because New York City tap water apparently has copans. Okay, so I asked my Rebbe Weider, what he thought about this. So I happen to be holding a water bottle. So he takes my water bottle and he says to me, "Do you see any bugs in here?" And I said, "No." He said, "Okay, you can drink it." So I personally would drink tap water from the city, but there are plenty of Jews who do not drink New York City tap water for that reason. Last story I'll mention here in this regard. So one time, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was giving a shiur, and usually he's just very focused and very in the zone, and all of a sudden, students like see him, like it looks like he's choking, something's going on, trying to figure out like what the whole ordeal is. And then all of a sudden he just, he snaps up and he keeps going from where he left off as if nothing happened. So then he notices that the students are looking kind of confused about what happened. And he said two words. He said, "Zvuv, love," because there was a fly that came into his mouth and it's forbidden to consume a fly. Again, it's not something he actively ate, but a fly came into his mouth. And then so he was like struggling to like spit it out. Once he got it out, he was okay.
But these insects and nothing's done b'mezid in this case. These items, it's all b'shogeg.
Right. So that helps, but it's not.
Who wants
to deal? And again, what we're talking about like let's say water. So like if you know that there's insects in the water, so that's maybe not so shogeg. So Rav Vagya Yosef agrees also that insects that are only visible by microscope. One doesn't have to worry about, but if you can see them with the eye, then it's problematic. So page 244, source 12. So the Sefer Kashrus discusses a question, not insects that are microscopic, but koshi b'riya, when they're nearly difficult to see because the bugs have the same color as the background or the shape of the insect. So he says, Tolas Levana Bekemach, if you have, let's say, like a white insect in flower or Zubin Yarok Ali Hasar, you have green insects on green lettuce. So those things we have to be concerned about. And he quotes a number of poskim who say that if it's possible to discern it, so you have to make the effort to look for it. Now he goes on to say that if the insect looks like a spot or black line, but then you hold up a magnifying glass and you see it as an insect, he says, that's forbidden. And likewise, let's say if somebody with very good vision could find it, but other people can't see it, that also makes it problematic. So again, there are more stringent opinions that if you can see it under a magnifying glass, it's problematic. Although here again, seems like the case here is that you see something that's there, you just don't realize it's an insect until you look at it more closely, as opposed to something that's totally invisible until you use a microscope. Then the other question that comes up is food that's difficult to clean. So let's say it's difficult to completely clean out, and you've checked the lettuce all you can. So Seir Kashri says you're allowed to grind it. You're allowed to grind the whole thing up and then consume it. So let's say you want to have for those who don't eat strawberries. I'm not saying right now strawberries yes or no, but let's say if there are some people who would say you can't have strawberries. So according to that, you could have a strawberry smoothie because it goes in a blender. So if there's any insects, then presumably the insects, the strawberries are dissolved. But you still have to inspect first, according to that. According to that, you would still have to inspect.
Does stuff include frozen vegetables, like strawberries are brought frozen?
So I think our assumption is that frozen vegetables that have hashkacha are already frozen vegetables that have hashkacha are already, the concern for insects isn't there anymore. That's what I could be. Somebody who cooks a little bit more could correct me, but I'm pretty sure once, that the frozen products that have hashkacha are not a problem.
So people.
And then they're processed at that point.
Right. So they could rely on that instead of
eliminating
from their diet completely.
Right. So some people only have frozen broccoli or cauliflower because it's just, so much easier to not. And I think come to think of it, I think that's what my wife does. I've never seen her use we always use frozen ones, I think. Okay. So now we'll deal quickly with the issue of who's allowed to inspect for insects, right? If I have somebody cooking for me, so can I trust that they have properly inspected the fruits and vegetables for insects? So the Rivash discusses this with regards to a minor. So we generally in Halakha have a principle that Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. That so when it comes to, let's say, a court case, so you need to have two witnesses, right? A kiddushin or a get requires two witnesses. But when it comes to giving testimony, not in front of a Beis Din, but just giving general testimony, that something is kosher. So one person is reliable. I don't need a whole Beis Din to tell me that that this person's kashrus can be trusted. So generally speaking, eid echad neman bisurin, but children are not believed in that regard. So the Ramah goes on to say, source 16 at page 248. Katan en lo din eid liyos neman bisurin. A child does not have the status of a witness to be believed in matters of prohibition. Let's say you have a very sharp child and he really knows the halachas. The ika raglam the varav, and what he's saying is trustworthy. There's potential evidence for it. So if he's, let's say the katan says that the lettuce has bugs in it. So then you have to be, so we're talking about like a child who really knows his stuff. So you would have to be concerned that when he says that it's forbidden. Likewise, if he's talking about an isidra, if a child's testifying about something that's an isidra banan, and it's not something that is presumed to be forbidden. So then you can rely on a minor. But when there's something where there's a presumption of a prohibition, when it's iskazak isura, so the child is not believed at all. So the example that's given here is when it comes to bedikas chametz. So you can believe a child in terms of searching for chametz because the chametz is going to be nullified anyway. And generally speaking, when you get to bedikas chametz, the house has been cleaned. So when you're doing the formal bedikas chametz, at that point you can check. You can believe a child since it's a derabbanan. However, when it comes to insects, that's a deraisa. Therefore, Sefer Kashrut says that a katan uktana rashaim libdok rak mazon she'ena mochzak betolayim. You can only check insects if there's no presumption that particular fruit is or vegetable is infested. And ideally, they should only check for themselves and not for others. So generally, we do not want to rely on children to check for insects. The only question we have is with non-observant Jews and non-Jews. So the Shulchan Aruch has a general statement that somebody who's, this is on page 250, somebody who's known to be an Avarian, somebody who's known to be, to do a lot of Averas, but let's say there's some mitzvahs that they keep, so they can believe about, the mitzvahs they keep, but not the mitzvahs that they don't keep. So if you have somebody who is Mechal Shabbos, but they, they're privately Mechal Shabbos, but they keep very strict kashrus. So in theory, you can trust their kashrus. The exception to this is when it comes to Avodah Zarah or public desecration of Shabbos, you can't trust them on anything. But if they, it's a man who doesn't put on tefillin, but he's very strict about kashrus. So he can be trusted in his kashrus. So with that said,
if Moshe Feinstein ruled this way, you could have a shochet like that then.
Well, so but it seems like the case that Moshe Feinstein was dealing with, however, was somebody who's believed to not really be firm in general. So it's a shochet, it's rumors that he's not really a trustworthy shochet. He's talking about somebody who's, first of all, the rumor is that he was Mechal Shabbos, but it seems like from the question that that there was questions about his credibility as a shochet. So in this case, when you have somebody who was Mechal Shabbos on many occasions, here says even privately, so we shouldn't believe him. And we have to consider him to be somebody who denies Hashem and his Torah, should be forbidden according, and he should not be relied upon. So certainly somebody who doesn't keep kashrus cannot be trusted to check insects. And it would seem like also somebody who, somebody who's known to, who's known not to be observant in general, even if maybe, you have some Jews who are not necessarily observant in many areas, but, they keep some form of kashrus, but unless you know that especially when it comes to insects. So you could have people who, in theory, keep kosher, that they would never allow milk and meat to be mixed in their kitchen, but not as many people are strict about checking bugs. So if you know that somebody's not strict about checking bugs, then you definitely can't rely on them. Likewise,
This came up in the kosher Indian restaurants where the people actually, they don't want to kill any bugs. To their religion. So
okay.
It needs extra supervision over there.
Fascinating. Right? So the Sefer Kashrut says that a non-Jew is not believed, is not trusted when it comes to checking for insects. And likewise, again, a Jew who does not really believe in the prohibition of consuming bugs should not be relied upon. But so it's interesting. There are some rabbis who have been giving hacherim to vegan restaurants, right, where there's no issues of basi b'chalav, no issues with basar. But there are other issues that can come up, and this could be an example. Let's say it's a vegan restaurant where the people have this belief that you can't kill bugs, so maybe you wouldn't want to rely on them in terms of checking bugs. Then it's a question
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What about big lettuce like Fresh Express that says wash 3 times? Can you rely on that, or you have to spend triple as much for the Bodek fresh vegetables?
Good question, and we'll get back to them.
Thank you.
Okay, so on page 252, 253, we're running out of time on the Zoom, but the Aruch HaShulchan examines the issue of women checking for insects. And he says that there were some people who say that, you know, that, you know, we do trust women in a lot of areas of kashrus, but he says, Zehu bedavar she'en kan torah rav, ava betircha meruba ein emanus. But things that require a lot of effort and diligence, so maybe women shouldn't be trusted. So that's the issue that the Aruch HaShulchan brings up. And he basically rips this position to shreds and says that, first of all, you're going to trust the husbands more who are, you know, concerned their business and they're hurrying from one thing to another, that they're going to be the ones who are going to check carefully. No, it's the women who are checking very carefully. Because I know many gedolim who rely on their wives' kashrus, including their checking of bugs. And he says, in general, we know that our women are very diligent in terms of their halacha, and this issue is no different. So again, this position kind of exists, but he says, if anything, the women are more reliable to check for bugs than the men. And likewise, Sefer Kashrus says that you have an adult Jew, whether they're male or female, so they check for bugs, and we assume that they did it properly. Obviously, it has to be assumed that somebody who knows what they're doing and somebody who believes them, you know, in the prohibition, they have to be observant, but otherwise, it doesn't matter the gender. Age maybe matters, but the gender does not. Okay, finally, just a little bit about the issue of Shabbos. Sefer Kashrus writes, source 25 on page 254, Asar lishtof ola hashros b'shabbos alei chasa kadomi b'mei chometz b'melech v'asir mehem atolam. You can't wash lettuce. You can't leave it in vinegar solution or salt water. So the issue there is that you're being shochet. You're killing the bugs. So that is potentially a problem. With that said, the Sefer Kashrus does say, "About lechol yarakos of Paris at tzrichim b'dikam itulam b'shabbos." So let's say you have to check for insects on Shabbos. "Meikar din mutar levodka, which the Motzei Tola Gedola Mesir Veino Aver al Isser Borer." One other issue that could come up is that, let's say I have lettuce and I have the bug. So when I remove the bug, I'm removing the bad from the good. And that's a violation of Borer. Except he says that
take
it's not
a piece
really
of the good with it then.
Right. Well, so he says in theory, if it's small insects, then you should remove a little bit of the vegetable with it. But if it's a large insect, so that's not, so generally speaking, you know, a large item being removed is not considered to be Borer. But again, this is not talking about killing the bug. This is not washing or soaking the vegetable where the bug will be killed, but we're just talking about merely removing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they end with this fascinating maysa from the Ben Ish Chai, who's one of the great Sephardi poskim, I believe, of the early 20th century. There was once a Torah scholar who is walking through the neighborhood and he sees a woman who it's right before Pesach, and she has 2 baskets of horseradish, and she's washing the leaves and checking them very quickly and then putting them in the basket. The Torah scholar says, you know, how much hair do you have? She says, I haven't counted them. He says, well, however many hairs that you have, you deserve more lashes than that. She says, well, what can I do? There are a lot of people, they want to eat horseradish, they like it, and he says, so you need to have a smaller amount and make sure to do it right. So, that was brought just to underscore the importance of checking carefully. So next week, we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, which things, you know, which fruits and vegetables have more of the issues and things related to that. But we'll stop here. Thanks, everyone.